Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network from March 20th, 2013, episode 618, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
So, I have a horse question for all of our listeners, and I want to know if this is the same thing that their horses experience, that my horse, Edward, the former racehorse that we got in July, and he's doing awesome, Glenn. He's doing awesome. Except for one minor problem.
Uh-oh.
I don't understand. He's 16'3", okay? He is a big, giant, tough, athletic horse. He raced over 50 times. He's 8 years old. I mean, he had a long career. He is just like a machine. Yet, when I'm out in the arena riding him, like I was yesterday, and, oh, dear God, a miniature horse goes trotting down the street. Why is that the scariest thing on the planet for a horse? Trucks go by. Semis go by. Four-wheelers and motorcycles, yet a mini horse makes him unglued. I had to jump off yesterday because he was like, oh, God! And this is not the first time.
Now, was the mini horse actually attached to something?
Well, I guess there's a little mini horse coalition. I live in this equestrian neighborhood, you know. Usually, a lot of times, there'll be a lot of them driving down the road. Or somebody will be walking it down the street. That's equally as scary. But yesterday was an especially challenging moment because it was a person driving a pickup truck and somebody was sitting in the bed of the truck and they were leading too many horses down the road. So it was truck, person, minis. And that was just too much. Like, he'd seen the minis pulling the carts, which is scary, but to see the truck pulling the minis was just too much.
That's funny. And, you know, probably my guess is, and I'm just making an assumption here, is that the person in the truck should have been walking. That's my guess.
Yeah, probably. You're exactly right. But I don't understand why mini horses, and this is true with a lot of horses that I've known, for some reason, miniature horses are so scary to big horses, and I can't quite figure it out. If anybody has a clue, I would love to hear your reasoning on maybe Facebook or give us a call, because I can't figure it out.
Jennifer, are you there? Are you back?
I'm here.
Yes, Jennifer, tell a little bit about the wild ride you had yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday was Wildlife Day here in the neighborhood. Spring is here. And all the little animals are out, so I was cruising along in the trails, happy as a clam, and suddenly Beaker came to a screeching halt, which he's really good at being a little quarter horse, ears pinned forward, head straight up in the air, and there stood a cow in the middle of the forest, just standing there.
Cow in the middle? What does that have to do with spring? That's not a springtime animal. That's a loose animal.
And this has happened before. I ride through this and it's just this big open patch of woods, a couple of thousand acres. There's nothing there. And these cows are in there.
She thinks they're feral, actually. Feral cows. Figure that out.
They're feral cows.
Wow.
And it gets better. We made it past the cows, picked up the trot again. We're moving along nicely. Screech to a halt again. Dust flies. Jennifer hangs onto Beaker's neck. And three buzzards flap across Beaker's head, feathers flying everywhere up into the trees.
Yeah, those are scary to humans, too. Oh, I remember having to ride through, like, where there was about 15 buzzards in some trees over my head, and I was like, please don't kill me, please don't kill me, please don't kill me, please don't kill me. I don't know why that's so scary.
And they smell. They smell bad.
Yeah.
So I decided it was time to walk for a while, and we got to the palmetto bushes, and we startled three very large black racer snakes off the trail.
Oh, good God. I'd go home. Just go home.
It was definitely wildlife day here in the neighborhood yesterday. She came back, and she was a little pale. I said, what happened? She stayed on, though.
I stayed on.
That's great. Good for you. Yeah, I must have been spook day yesterday for sure.
Well, Jennifer, do you have it on today's show, or are we just going right into it?
On today's show, on Back on Track Wednesday edition, the Wheel of Trivia launches our midweek foray by providing some entertaining prize apportionment. And from the looks of the switchboard, it's going to be a busy day. It's lit up like a Christmas tree. And then Horse and Country TV's Velvet Voice, Victoria Spicer, halts at X for a salute to this week's most intriguing stories. Plus, as is our Wednesday habit, the Horse Health Report will be here to provide a primer on stallion fertility.
Thank you, Jennifer. If you do want to call and get in line, you never know. We might have a bunch of people who get the answer wrong to their question. It's 347-637-3238. Jamie said she was going to be extra tough today, so you never know. You never know.
Yeah,
actually,
you know,
she didn't say that.
No. See, Jennifer's the one that writes these questions. And so I don't want these people that are on hold right now to get mad at me if they don't understand the question. It is Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com if you want to email her your complaints. It's not me. I don't write them.
We'll be starting Wheel of Trivia in just a minute. 347-637-3238. But first, it is Daily Winnie time, and I'm going to give mine something a little different today. I'm giving my Daily Winnie to an entire show. Starts today, about 4 miles from my house, called the Live Oak International. This is like Rolex is to eventers, like Wellington is to jumpers and dressage people, Live Oak is to drivers. This is our Rolex. It's our day, and I live 4 miles literally from the starting gate. So it's a combined driving event. They'll have all three phases. They'll have the dressage, they'll have marathon, and they'll have cones. And we are going to be spending as much of the next 4 days over at Live Oak as we can. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you to Chester Weber, who owns Live Oak Stud. It's, by the way, that's about, I don't know, it's like 7,000 acres. It's huge. And he's going to be making accommodations so that we can do the dressage radio show there on Sunday morning. So Wendy and I will
the
be over doing the dressage. The driving radio show. Sorry. we'll be doing the driving radio show over there on Sunday morning.
I have two comments for you about that. Number one, every time you talk about Chester Weber's place, it gets bigger. First, it's 3,000 acres. Then it's 4. Now it's all the way up to 7. Every time you talk about it, tomorrow, it's going to be 10,000 acres you were at yesterday. So there's that. And number two, they've got to come up with a better name other than cones. Seriously? Cones.
It is cones. By the way, I just looked it up so that we can clarify. It's 4,500 acres.
Ah, gee. 7 million acres of driving.
I don't know. 4,500 acres in Florida is pretty good size. That's pretty good size.
Yes, it is, but it's not 7,000. Yeah. Carry on. again, my Daily Winnie. Well, I gotta go back a little bit because I missed a Daily Winnie that I should have done on the 8th, and I don't think it's because we were here on that day. But I would like to give a Daily Winnie to Zenyatta. Hello, because her baby turned 1 year old, so I guess I could give it to Zenyatta's baby. But at this point, I'm realizing that birthdays should be celebrated and gifts should be given to the mother, not the baby. Baby didn't do anything. The mother is the one that did all the work. So Zenyatta should get my daily winning for having a baby. And it was turned 1 year old on March 8th. No word on when she's due to full currently. Now, the real daily winning, the one that I didn't miss, is back to Rachel Alexandra. She is actually doing incredibly well, has been displaying a strong appetite and an increase in feisty behavior during her walks this past week. And you know what that means? That means she's a rearing and spinning and apparently feeling really good. So congratulations, everybody. Rune Riddle, for doing such a fantastic job, and just keep her on the right track.
Sounds like at least mentally she is getting back to being a racehorse mama.
Yep. Sounds like it.
Well, let's get Wheel of Trivia started right away here, and we always start Wheel of Trivia with this.
Wheel of Trivia!
That's right. It's time for Wheel of Trivia, and the way we play is we'll take callers in the order they have called in here. You're going to have some categories to choose from that Jamie will tell you about in just a minute. We have all kinds of prizes on the wheel, almost $500 worth, and we have some new additions today. The big prizes today are the Troxel helmets. Troxel has donated two helmets to us, so we will have those on the wheel. These are the new ones too, Jamie, and I don't know if you've noticed the new line of Troxel helmets, but they have designs on them. They're really stepping out in the style department, and Western riders got to love these helmets because they have Western motifs on them. They are really – they're very low profile now, so they've really taken – they don't look like bowls anymore on your head. And I think that the trail riders and Western riders are really going to be picking up on some of these helmets, and it's obviously the direction they're going. So they've donated a couple of those. We will have those on the wheel today along with all of our other terrific prizes. Now, if you get an answer correct, you will hear this. If you get it wrong, you will hear the high school basketball buzzer. What it is.
Not
I mean, it sounds
that.
Like it. I know. I used to hate it when I was in high school. And then, you know, you're going to have a choice. What categories do they have to choose from?
All right. The categories are fractured facts, which is random, potentially random facts about horse, anything horse-related. It is just a bizarre category, random facts, fractured facts. The next one is horse management. Horse management can be anything from health care all the way up to, you know, feeding, any type of horse management question. And then there's horses in the morning experts only. And that's for those crazy ones of you that do nothing but listen to our show all the time. Just kidding. These would be questions that if you listen to our show regularly, you will know the answer to. So those are the three categories. It is time to play Wheel of Trivia, and we do every week, we have to have a crappy prize on the wheel. Are you there, Glenn? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am, and we have a six-pack of gently used double-ended snaps. That is correct. They might be a little rusty. I'm not sure that they go in and out anymore, but you'll get them. You'll be so thrilled.
Fantastic. A six-pack of gently used double-ended snaps. And when gently used means that if you use the snap to, I don't know, attach a feed bucket and your horse gets too angry at the feed, you know, and, like, slams the bucket down, the snap is going to break.
That's
so,
correct. That's exactly
yeah.
What's going to happen. All right, let's take Karen from Utah is our first player today.
Hello, Karen. How are you?
Good.
I hope. Can you roll your window up or something? I don't know. Are you on speaker? What's going on?
I'm in the car.
Okay. Well, let's make sure you pull over and we're driving safely for this game. How? So you're in. Where are you calling from? Utah?
Yes, Utah.
Oh, so I know what's going on. The snow is coming down, and that's what we hear.
Well, it's not coming down right now.
So how? What's the weather like in Utah?
Right now it's great, but it's cloudy. We're going to get rain today and snow tomorrow.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, hopefully you're either skiing or ski-georing or whatever it's called when you have your horse pull you in the snow. That sounds like the only thing to do in Utah. All right, what category would you like, Carrie? We have Fracture Facts, Horse Management, or Horses in the Morning Experts Only?
Horse Management.
Horse Management. Okay, now remember, you have 5 seconds from the time I start finish asking the question to answer it. No Google allowed. Of course, you're driving, so we really, really suggest you don't Google.
Yeah, I think we're safe there.
Okay, here we go. What type of wound is most likely to require sutures? Abrasion, contusion, or laceration?
Laceration.
That is correct, my friend. Laceration, no hesitation. Are you a veterinarian? Are you how did you know that so fast?
Well, I've been with horses all my life. I'm 55, and I've taught Pony Club.
She was going to get anything we asked.
I know, right? That's fantastic.
Well, good job.
Yeah, Glenn, take over. Give her the wheel.
All right, here we go. We're spinning the wheel. See what you win. And hopefully it'll be one of those helmets. Let's see. Oh, just pass the first helmet. Ah, here we go. Oh, you just missed the second helmet, but you did win a terrific prize. It's the Farrier's Fix Hoof Oil Gift Pack worth $50. Let me tell you about it. Farrier's Fix was designed by a farrier to help your horses. Farrier's Fix is made with only high-quality natural ingredients that provide vitamins A, D, and E, all essential for good quality hooves. There's no fillers in this hoof oil. Each ingredient serves a specific purpose. Competitors can also be assured that it does not test under FEI guidelines, and they're sending you a $50 gift pack of Farrier's Fix hoof oil. Thank you for playing, Karen. We appreciate it. Hold on,
Karen,
Jennifer.
Karen, if you didn't get that, that's Farrier's Fix hoof oil. It's for your horse's hoof. I don't know what Glenn was describing. Clearly, I don't know.
Hoof.
I don't know. But it's a hoof oil in case you didn't understand a word he said.
I got it.
Gotcha.
Hold on. Jennifer's right. Going to get your address.
God, I hate it when you do that.
I was all so happy when it landed on it, too, because I could just agitate you this morning. That was
I
great.
Know. God, it irritates me. You're not British. You're not British.
Robert from Arizona. Oh, it's Robert. Hey, Robert. How are you?
Hey.
Oh.
Yep.
Is your window down, Robert?
No, I'm driving too. Let me pull over. I'm actually going to turn the car off. I got a noisy one. Okay, we should be good to go.
How you doing, Robert? How's it going? I would ask you how the weather is in Arizona, but I know it's absolutely perfect.
Of course it's perfect, other than I'm going to work.
Oh, that part does stink. All right, so you're listening to us on, I guess, live on your phone or whatever. You called in. You want to be a part of the Wheel of Trivia. Now, I need to ask you, how many horses do you have at this point?
I've still got those three. I got my 20. Well, he'll be 25 this year. I got my 25-year-old gelding. He's the baby. And then I've got two mares that will be 29 and 28.
My goodness. You are running a senior center out there, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I am. But I'm enjoying every minute of it. I'm learning a lot.
Good. Well, somebody's got to do that. I appreciate you taking care of the senior horses. Well, listen, what category would you like? Would you like Fractured Facts, Horse Management, or Horses in the Morning, Experts Only?
Well, I'm going to have to go with the Expert Only because those are the most horse husband level questions I can hear on the show every time.
By the way, thankfully we have a guy calling in. Love it. Thank you.
All right. Here we go. Horses in the Morning, Experts Only. This is ungoogleable, by the way, so ha. All right. In the opening music, it's a beautiful day for blank.
Oh, it's a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Oh, yes.
I was putting too much thought into that.
That was almost a trick question.
I was thinking of the song where... who is it? Templeton Thompson, who sings It's a Beautiful Day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I said, what's the next lyric? What's the next lyric? I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That's just the regular opening.
Well, good job. All right. Well, let's spin the wheel and see what you've won.
Can I just point out, too, by the way, that asking a man to recite lyrics to any sort of song, the fact that he got that was impressive. Very good. Men never listen to lyrics.
All right. Here we go. Spinning. All right. Let's hope you get something good here. Not the tic-tac of used double-ended snap. Oh, we passed that, so you're safe. Oh, you won a Horse Radio Network canvas tote. You can put all kinds of good stuff in these totes. And I'll tell you what, do you have one of our mugs yet?
I don't have a mug yet.
Okay, well then, with the canvas tote, I'm going to throw in a mug just for you, Robert.
Oh,
so,
perfect.
You have the Horse Radio Network canvas tote and the Horse Radio Network mug. And, of course, you can buy all of that stuff at hrnstore.com if you want your own. So hold on, and Jennifer's going to get your address, and we'll send those out to you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks, Robert. Hang on.
All right. We have another caller here by the name of Colleen in Pennsylvania.
Seriously, Colleen? Her name is Colleen.
Colleen.
Hey, Colleen. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
Do you pronounce it hoof or hoof? I mean, really, is it Colleen or Colleen?
Oh, you ask her. She's from Pennsylvania. See what she says about that H-O-O-F subject. Go ahead. Ask her.
I pronounce it Colleen.
Colleen, what about the... With a hoof word.
I pronounce it hoof.
Ah, suck it, Glenn. Pennsylvania. Cold it.
She must be an import. She's not really from there.
Oh, so ridiculous. So ridiculous. All right, Colleen, how are you? You're in beautiful, sunny Pennsylvania. Do you have horses? What's the story? I don't think we've talked to you yet.
I do. No, actually, this is my first time calling in. No, it's actually beautiful and sunny here today. Over the weekend, we had some snow and rain. Monday, we had, rain and then some sleet Monday night. So it's kind of up and down here since it's March. I do have horses. I have three.
And what are they?
We have an older quarter horse named Ripley, and he's actually just getting ready to turn 23. And then we have two young warm blood thoroughbred crosses that are ages 6 and 4.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Well, we hope you win a prize for them. Being your first time call, we'd like to encourage you to call back if you don't win, because you can call back every single week, okay?
That's good.
All right. Would you like the category Fractured Facts, Horse Management, Horses in the Morning, Experts Only? Which will it be?
I'm going to try for the horse management category.
Okay. Horse management. You have 5 seconds from when I finish asking the question. Here we go. We're looking for a specific word here. What is an overbite called in a horse?
Ooh, overbite called in a horse.
And...
Time. Oh. I'm not sure.
It is an overbite in a horse is called a parrot mouth.
Okay.
Which, if you are like me and you have had a horse with a parrot mouth, then you have to get their teeth floated every 5 months. It's ridiculous because the back teeth don't have anything to go against, and they just sit there and they get longer and longer and longer. Anyway, probably too much information. But Colleen, I'm sorry you did not win this time. Will you please call back next week?
I will definitely do that.
Okay,
thanks, Colleen. And I'll forgive you for mispronouncing the name of the horse's feet. I'll forgive you for that.
Then at least say her name right. It's Colleen.
It's Colleen.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Colleen. Thanks, guys.
All
bye,
right,
Colleen. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
Jeez, Glenn. What is it with you and the O's? Can't say the O's.
I'm really British at heart. I really am. All right. Barbie from New Jersey is on the line.
Barbie.
Oh, I'm so
good morning.
I'm so excited. You guys are on my bucket list.
Seriously?
I can check one off.
Girl, you
wow.
Off
I've never been on anybody's bucket list before.
You're on my bucket list, yep.
Ah, that's fantastic. Now, you're calling from New Jersey. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I appreciate the shout-out on Monday for the people in New Jersey who are freezing. Six inches of the snow yesterday. Oh, really? 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 But it's sunny out today, so we're good.
Well, you got one day, so maybe it'll help melt that snow a little bit and turn into the mud that you're so excited about having.
Yeah, that we had yesterday in the neighborhood. Yeah, yeah. One of the other snow or mud, yeah. It's so much fun. I know you're jealous.
Okay. Oh, Barb, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Well, at least 2 months out of the year, New Jersey's gorgeous. That's totally worth it. Barbie.
Well, I'm blessed to take care of lots of horses. I have two of my own, a little Gypsy and a Spanish Mustang. Little Gypsy is a baby that I picked out in vitro, and he's been the love of my life. And then, so now he's 2.5. We just started riding. It's so exciting and so amazing. Then I have a Spanish Mustang who's wonderful, 16. And I take care of my friend's Friesian. And then I take care of my neighbor's farm. And I have 4 miniature donkeys. And Glenn, you're not allowed to get one. You're not allowed to get one. You're not allowed to get one. You got to come and visit mine. You're not allowed to get one. No.
Are they
no.
really evil little creatures? Tell me. Be honest.
No, they're not evil, but they're... you don't want one. Some people think they're evil. I think they're adorable, but you don't want
it. Okay, all right. I'll take your word for it. All I think of, Jamie, when I hear...
They eat horse tails. They eat horse tails.
Well, when I think of your horses, all I think of is hair. When all those Gypsy, the Friesian,
oh,
I'm thinking
like
a lot of hair.
Yeah. It's always maintenance. High maintenance, very. It's like having a daughter or something, yeah. We spend a lot of on hair products, yeah.
Oh, God, I love talking to people from all over the country. You can hear, like, hear that New Jersey come out on the word daughter. I got a daughter. It's like taking care of a daughter. I love it. Oh, this is so exciting. Okay, Barbie, well, it sounds like you need, hopefully you're going to win some sort of grooming product to help you with all those ridiculously hairy horses. We shall see. What category would you like? Would you like fractured facts?
Horses in the morning. I'm going for horses in the morning. I'm going for the hardcore... Except I know nothing about racehorses, and it just doesn't enter my head. So easy on me with the racehorses. Anything else, I'll try.
Okay, so you want the experts-only category?
Yeah, but no racehorses.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have any racehorse questions, so probably
okay.
A good idea. So here we go. You have 5 seconds from the time I finish asking the question to answer it. What is Horses in the Morning's name for the shout-outs that Glenn and Jamie do at the
winning,
opening of...
Winning. They're winning. We got 5 seconds.
I didn't even have time to get to the bell.
That is the worst buzzer ever. Congratulations,
I know.
You are correct. It is the daily whinny that we do at the start of each show. These are not experts' questions. These are like, if you listen to the beginning of the show, you would know that. But clearly, you are a listener, an avid listener, so you get to spin the wheel. Here we go, Glenn. Take it away.
All right, here we go. There is some grooming products on here, too. So you never know.
Help me out, Glenn. Help me out.
Oh, there goes the helmet. There went the double end of snap. You're not going to believe this, but you won the Shapley's gift pack of grooming products.
See that?
Let me tell you about it. For 75 years, generations of horsemen around the world, I can't believe this, have been placing their trust in Shapley's. They offer an extensive line of superior equine grooming products, starting with the original MTG. Look for Shapley's full line of products at your local pack supplier and personally experience why so many people trust their horses to Shapley's. Good for you! That's $40 worth of grooming products.
I got a bit of money.
You won!
Yay! Thank you, everyone. Thank you,
Shapley. Well, now, this was I would like to hear sometime the rest of your list of bucket lists, because this was a very easy one. If they're all this easy, you know, some of the things in the bucket list are supposed to be harder. Just saying.
The rest of the things on my bucket list, I want to present my horse at Equine Affair this year in November. I would like to have my horse be raised to be an equine therapist. And I have to own a big farm with lots of horses that I can take in from that need help.
Is there another thing in the bucket list? Is marrying the millionaire? Is that on the list too?
No, I'm gonna be the millionaire.
Oh,
girl, we don't need no man.
Yeah, no, it's me. It's all me.
Amen.
Silly.
Hold on, Barbie. Jennifer's gonna get your address.
Thank you.
All right, Barbie. What a bundle of energy. How fun.
she certainly brought up the energy of the show. No problem there. Well, that's it. That's all we have time for today. It is now 9:30, so we have to take a call from Europe here shortly. So anybody that is now still waiting on hold, please give us a call back next week. You can call and play every week. We appreciate everybody that plays, and we love talking to you. It's a highlight of our week. So give us a call back again next week, and sorry we didn't get to you. It's all Jamie's fault. Write to Jamie at hotradionetwork.com.
God. It's all Jennifer's fault. Blame it on the person who can't talk right now.
All right, we're going to take a break for our sponsor Back on Track, talk a little bit about their saddle pads, and then we'll come back. Hopefully we'll be hearing from Victoria from Horse and Country TV.
Well, we are here with Bo from Back on Track Products, and we're going to highlight today the saddle pad. Tell us about the saddle pad.
The saddle pad is start to get more and more popular. People, some have bought them. Buying more, they really like them, and Michelle Gibson is one of them. Some is a top dressage rider, and it's good quality. And what they do, the same there, they reflect the body warmth back like a far infrared rear. It's not, they don't overheat the horse or anything. They just keep them more supple and loose. Mm-hmm. And it's a good quality and affordable. They're $79, and it's like a good quality saddle pad.
That's very affordable for a saddle pad that's going to increase the blood flow.
Yeah.
Under that's amazing. I had no idea.
Are they the type of saddle pad that they can be used both in practice and show?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So absolutely. They're show quality. They
yeah,
look.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. So they look like a normal saddle pad. You can't see the difference, but it really makes a difference. I don't ride myself, but everybody tells me. And since the increase of saddle pad have been very good, it's actually that product that increased most in our sales. So it means we get a lot of repeat customers. So that means.
Is it a square pad or is it the shape of the saddle?
It's a square pad. You know, we have all purpose and dressage, and we're going to get one, goes around
shaped
one. Shaped
yeah.
one, too, yes.
Shaped ones as well. Well, that's great. And $79.95, and they are machine washable?
Yes.
You know, for what it does, that's a terrific price, because we have seen some saddle pads here that don't do anything but be a saddle pad for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is actually $79.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, it's pretty, and it's a good quality to hold up, you know, like a regular saddle pad of good quality. Yes.
Make your horses happy. Go to backontrackproducts.com and get the saddle pad. It'll definitely improve their attitude.
I wouldn't be surprised if I see Bo this weekend over at Live Oak International. They usually come in for that. So hopefully I'll get to chat with him over there. Well, we are waiting for Victoria from Horse and Country TV. You know, Jamie, I hope she didn't get caught up in the not realizing that we changed our clocks here in America. I had that happen with a guest we were talking to yesterday on the Stable Scoop show, and we were an hour off on time. So let's hope that doesn't happen this morning. I did drop her a note, so hopefully we'll catch up with her.
Oh. Well, that's good. Well, that's good. Well, just to let everybody know, we can do some news while we're waiting potentially for Victoria. We probably should have asked her if she knew about the time change more than 5 minutes after she was supposed to be on.
Oh, she just got back to me and said, oh, I didn't know, calling now, so she should be here.
Oh, good. Well, hey, eight American horses. Barbie, this is a news story for you. Eight American horses are heading over to Dubai to race in the $27 million Dubai World Cup on March 30th. And the names that have left already and that are there, they left yesterday, and it was Animal Kingdom, Royal Delta, and Trinneberg, and already over there was Doulahan and Little Mike. They've been training there since March 9th. All of them are going to stay in the same barn. How awesome are we representing at Dubai this year? Animal Kingdom, Royal Delta, Trinneberg, Doulahan. What a fantastic group. So we wish everybody the best of luck, safe travels, and good luck. We're going to be watching you on March 30th.
I've been doing a little bit of reading and seeing a lot about Little Mike, and I kind of think Little Mike's going to represent us over there. I like that horse for some reason, and he's been doing very well. So,
yeah, he is fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. But nobody beats Royal Delta in my book. I mean, you go, girl.
You're
awesome.
You're always rooting for the girls, aren't you?
Of course. You got girl power. And then all those big tough boys, they don't need any more help. They're all, you know, big tough boys. So, seriously, though, Graham Motion says that Animal Kingdom is doing fantastic. He's very encouraged. He's training incredibly well. And, he says, knock on wood, we haven't missed a beat. Everything has gone basically to schedule without a hitch, you know, after he was pulled for, he's off for like 9 months. So he is back. He's going to be running on synthetic, which is his favorite. And, I think he's got a great chance too. Obviously, nobody would be traveling to Dubai unless they thought they had a really good shot.
Well, we had another situation. First we had all the rescue stories. You know, we've had rescue story after rescue story for the last 2 years. Well, now it seems like we've had a rash of loose horses on the highway. And this is in Washington State. Had three different police departments involved. We had three horses loose on the very, very busy I-5. And they wandered onto a bridge up there and then down the off-ramp and then back onto the highway again. The Sheriff's Department was called. The Washington State Police were there. The Castle Rock Police Department were there, all trying to round up these horses. They eventually had to shut down the road, this very busy highway, and route people on the side roads for 2 hours because just kept running up and down and up and down and up and down. And they would stop for a little bit and eat on the grassy median, and then they would take off again when the police would get nearby. And finally, they did manage to wrangle the horses, and they got them tied. They actually tied them to a guardrail. Nothing could go wrong with that. And then, you got to tie them to something, I guess. And the owners lured them into a trailer with oats, and they did find the owners, and they returned them to their pasture. By the way, they were fined $144 for having loose animals on the highway. That's the first of these stories that I've ever seen that the people were fined.
Okay, so where is this part, this section of I-5?
It says I-5, but it didn't tell me really where. I got to reiterate something that drives me absolutely insane. Newspaper and TV websites. They do not tell you what state they're in. They just assume if you went to their website, you know where they are. So you read these articles, and you're looking around the website to find even where they are in the country, and it doesn't say. I finally figured out because it was the Washington State Police that it had to be Washington, or Washington, you know?
I guess so. So Washington horses, I have some horses in my barn that I couldn't tie to a fence post, to a hitching post, much less a guardrail on the side of a freeway. That is,
yeah, but you
got to
figure they were
happen.
Pretty tired by then after running the highway for 2 hours. So
yeah, they'd
probably
still fight.
Done.
Jet would still fight.
All right, she is here. She has made it. It's time for this.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
Hello, Victoria. How are you?
I'm terribly well, Jamie. How are you?
Oh, we're doing just fine. You and I have had some of the same situation in the past couple weeks, and it's been pretty tough. So I'm sending you a hug, okay?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's not been the best week, but these things happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, and for anybody who doesn't know, we're not going to talk about it because we don't want to get into it. We both start crying. All right, so talk to us about what is going on over there at Horse and Country. Anything new?
Well, it's quite a big news story today or in the last couple of days, is that the equine herpes virus, which is obviously a very serious medical disease, it's been detected in the Beaufort Hunt Stables, which are on the Badminton estate, and so it's causing a bit of concern for people planning to go to Badminton horse trials because last year the event was cancelled because of the bad weather, and this year we're all desperately looking forward to having Badminton back, and this has happened. However, they're doing all they can to stop any further infection, and the team at Badminton are absolutely adamant that it's going to be fine and that they've got experts and biosecurity experts involved so that the event will be able to go ahead. But it's quite worrying news, and it's another case, and there's been a few spates around that Gloucestershire area of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, so when is Badminton?
It's in
after
6 weeks' time. Yeah, I think it's normally just after Kentucky, and it's usually the kind of beginning of May, end of April sometimes. So
it's,
this year,
it starts at May 2nd this year.
Yes,
okay.
And so it's not that far away at all, and obviously there's going to be horses coming from around the world, and everybody wants that reassurance that it's going to be absolutely safe and not going to cause any further spread of disease or risk some of the best horses in the whole world.
You know, I think 6 weeks, because of not having badminton last year, they are going to work their butt off to get everything clean and disinfected and have biosecurity measures that just out the butt. Like, there's going to be more security there. So I think they'll have it figured out by then, because they just don't want to miss it again.
I think you're right, and I really hope so. It was such a shame when we had it cancelled last year. And we just had a dreadful season. We had so much rain last summer, and we had a few weeks of respite when it got quite dry, and then the rest of the year was just non-stop deluges. And the eventing season's been underway here again for a couple of weeks, and we're having the same thing, just constant rain. We had a big event at Tweedledown in the south a couple of weeks ago that Jenny Riddle, our presenter, and I went to, and the horses were having to show jump in mud, and the dressage arena is just a sea of mud. And we're just really hoping, you know, we need a break, and event organizers need a break, and riders are desperate to get out there. And so we're hoping that fate and weather doesn't conspire against us for a second season in a row.
Now, obviously this is not normal, but do you guys typically have very rainy patterns like this in the summertime?
No, I mean, like, in seasons, there's always been some months that you get bad weather, and Britain's renowned for being rainy and wet. But this is incessant rain, making the going impossible, you know, events having to tow horse boxes on with tractors, and lots of events just couldn't run last year. And as a result, insurance for events to ensure that they can go ahead or get some compensation, if not, the insurance premiums have rocketed because there were so many cancellations last year, and it's just making it harder than ever to run an affiliated event.
Yeah, so insurance prices went up, and then, of course, that is going to trickle down to the competitors, and unfortunately, that's just kind of how the way it's going to go. So, well, we hope that the rain stops in time for badminton and they get the EHV outbreak under wraps. I'm sure that they will. Just now we got to pray for no rain so they can get it under wraps while it's not pouring down rain.
Indeed.
Now, you guys also had a story, and we this went incredibly viral, actually, and we lost the world's oldest horse.
Yes, it's slightly vague because I think nobody knew for certain when this horse was born, but he was thought to be 51 years old, which is just incredible. I'm presuming he had a pony in him, you know, whether he's half pony or at some point, because
yeah,
not many horses live that long, that's for sure. And I remember the horse that my mum had when I was little, he reached well into his 30s, but that's quite rare. And so for a horse to reach 51, it's just incredible.
Yeah, it sure is. 51 years old. And but you're right. It was a little bit sketchy when you were reading the story. It's like, 51 years old. Well, he's not registered. There's no papers. They haven't had him that long. Yeah, like, it was... It definitely could poke holes, but the idea of when you see the pictures, that horse was really old, and he looked pretty good for his age, you know, when they took the pictures.
He did, a bit of gray around the eyes and around the muzzle, but not too sunken backed and had enough condition on him, so that was nice. I'm glad he had a long and happy retirement.
Yes, yes, and now we'll move on to the Gold Cup.
Yes, now I'm always telling you lots of what's going on in the jump racing world, and I know jump racing isn't the same over in the States as it is in Britain, but just to put it in context, the Cheltenham Gold Cup is the most prestigious jumping race in the world, and
it's the Kentucky Derby of England.
Well, we obviously have our own Epsom Derby, which is a classic, and that's a flat race. But in the winter, we have jump racing, and we have the Grand National, which is the very famous one, you know, the race that was made into the film National Velvet and things. But the Cheltenham Gold Cup is the fastest steeplechaser is running over a long distance of more than 3 miles, and these are the best steeplechasers in the country. And so this year it was won by a horse called Bob's Worth, who's just, he's a real measure of a great jumped horse, because he started off in novice hurdling, which is obviously the smaller jumps that they do in jump racing, and he won a couple of those races, and then he's graduated to being a novice steeplechaser, and he's won there, and now he's gone up and gone to the very top level, and he's continued to be victorious. So it's a real nice sign of a horse moving up through the levels and reaching the very top.
And staying sound and being able to run, did you say over 3 miles?
Yes, now that's the distance of the Gold Cup, and so these horses need to be able to stay, but not in the same way as the Grand Nationals over 4 miles, so that's even longer, but they have enough speed, but they have the stamina to last. And Cheltenham is an incredibly special race course, but it finishes with this hill, and so they have to jump the last fence and keep going up the hill, and it causes a lot of hearts to be broken when horses just don't have enough in the tank to keep their speed up, and things change in the final furlong or two. So it's always brilliant to be there, and there's over, I think it was over almost 250,000 people went across the 4 days, so it's a huge big sporting event here in the UK.
Well, you know what? If it was any longer, Jamie, they'd have to be using Arabs.
yeah, no kidding. I just think that anybody who, like, as a jockey, anybody who stays on an entire steeplechase race is a hero. You know, like, the fact that there's a bunch of them charging up the hill at the same time, it just seems almost impossible to me, because that is just such an incredibly grueling sport, and it just, I mean, you have to have the heart of a lion as the horse and rider to be able to do something like that and to be able to stay that long and then charge up the hill and finish. So congratulations to Bob's Worth. My God, what? I mean, obviously it's not the Grand National, which is another mile. Maybe he's next in line for that. Who knows?
I hope not. Last year's winner of the Gold Cup did go on to the Grand National, and it didn't end well. He got loose and then ended up sustaining a fatal injury, so I'm hoping Bobsworth is kept. It wasn't great, and I'm hoping Bobsworth is kept purely for Cheltenham and the very prestigious races. The Grand Nationals for real staying horses, and I would be surprised if Bobsworth went there.
No, well then never mind. I hope he's not going. So talk to us about you've got your advice columns.
Yes, and so we've got lots of videos and advice articles there, and we've been putting up lots and lots of clips from top event rider Tina Cook, who, for those of you who don't know, her brother is also a jump racing trainer, and her father was as well. And so Tina is based at the same yard as her brother's racing stables, and she takes a lot of ex-race horses to become eventers. And so she is giving a series of videos about retraining and some of the early steps that you might take. And it's such a nice change to see somebody working with a total baby racehorse. You know, she's riding there, she's got very little contact, she's just letting him work out what it's like to be a riding horse and how it feels to have a rider with their legs hanging down their side when all they're used to is people riding at jockey's length. So there's some brilliant videos on there, and it's well worth checking it out.
Fantastic. And of course, you know, we all need to, all of us have a little bit of experience. It sounds like we have so many listeners that have ex-race horses, so definitely everybody can go check that out. Now, you've got a video that has gone viral, and I haven't watched the whole thing because it was before the show and I didn't want to start crying. And it seems like one of those, like, heartstring. Tell us about this video, the story of a man and his horse.
It is. It's a very special video from Horsewear Ireland, who are a big rugs manufacturer, and I know they're in America as well. And they've made a video for us, and we get some great adverts on the channel, and some adverts can be really simple and really effective, but and this one, they've obviously put a lot of time and effort into producing a really quality video, and it's great to see the horse world embracing this. And it's this beautiful kind of story of a couple and their life with horses, and how the horse has been this connection between them the whole time. And it's all about a true horseman doesn't need to talk to his horse. He can hear him whisper. So it's very sweet and it's very Irish and lovely and definitely worth watching.
Well, yeah, it's definitely worth watching. You can see that on horseandcountry.tv. And then we'll skip down before we let you go to the video of the week.
Yes, indeed. Now, I don't know if you've seen, but talking of adverts, it's been a mobile phone advert over here, which featured a Shetland pony doing moonwalking and various other dancing,
yeah.
And it's been a big viral hit. And I thought that's quite funny, and it's nice to have everybody talking about ponies. But I thought, you know, we've got lots of dancing horses at Horse and Country, and ours don't need computer graphics to do so. And so we've put together a lovely montage of some of the best dressage horses. And so if you want to see real dancing horses, just head to horseandcountry.tv/video and check out our answer to the dancing pony.
I love it. You've got horses doing piaf and passage, tempi changes, just, you know, canter half passes, just the most impressive dressage that you can get, and it's just right together, and God, these horses are amazing. So if you want to just see some really beautiful horses, again, Horse and Country TV, and I want the black one. I don't know who it is, but I want the black one. Well, thanks, Victoria. Thank you so much for joining us. And everybody, horseandcountry.tv. You can follow Victoria on Facebook as well. Thank you for being on the show, and we will talk to you again next week.
My pleasure. Have a good week.
Bye, Victoria.
Bye.
Well, it was so nice of her to join us, and we appreciate her. If I don't hear her say horsies on a Wednesday, my week is not complete.
I know. It's true. And I love the adverts and the rugs, and I just love listening to her and the horse boxes. And, oh, I love the way she talks. It's awesome.
And to follow up on the she has left us here, because the audience is probably wondering, her dog got loose before last week's show, and she couldn't make last week's show because she was looking for a puppy, and then she found out from the police that there had been one fitting that description that had been hit by a car. So she was pretty
but
upset.
Not confirmed.
Right? Not confirmed, but she also hasn't found the dog yet. So that's why she got the virtual hug there in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, we both lost dogs in a couple weeks, so...
I got one to tell you real quick before we go on to the song. We had a dog, our Jennifer's lifetime dog, and it was a barn dog, and got loose around, this is in Pennsylvania, in the winter around New Year's, and like got lost in the snow and cold, and for 2 weeks we just thought that the dog was gone. And we got a call on New Year's Day from a guy who found the dog in his trap. He was trapping some kind of animals, and this dog had lived for 2 weeks in that trap in the middle of winter.
Oh my gosh.
We got her back, and we brought her back to health, and she lived for like another 5 years. But, you know, how unexpected was that 2 weeks later to get that call?
That's heartbreaking, but in a good way, you know, at the end. But poor dog suffering like that for 2 weeks. Oh, stop trapping! God, why does everybody have to kill things?
It was so funny because the other morning I said there'd be a lot of people in the Northeast that want to shoot Punxsutawney Phil. So yesterday I was talking to some of them and they were like, no, I want to strangle them personally. So shooting wasn't even good enough.
God, bloodthirsty demons out there. Good God.
Time for our song today. And we're going to bring you a little Templeton Thompson, one we don't hear very often, called Follow Me Around, right after this word from Equestrian Collection. Hi, Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week, I'm talking about the Compositi Colored Premium Stirrup Irons. These things jumped out at me when we first got them because of all the colors that they come in. They're a composite stirrup, and that's all the new rage in stirrups right now because they are very, very light. I think the eventers would particularly like this stirrup because it is so light and because of all the colors. It comes in two sizes, 4-inch and 4 3/4, and the colors are like royal blue, bright green, lime green, yellow, orange, pink, light blue, all those kind of colors that you can match your outfits, or if you're an eventer, you can match your outfit that you wear when you compete. We also sell the stirrup the fillings on the bottom of the stirrup separately so that you don't always have to have the same color. I have a pair of these, and what I liked about them besides the color was the fact that they were very, very light. You felt like it just felt really good. You can run the stirrups up, and you're not going to mess up your saddle at all with those. They're just really nice composite stirrups in very bright colors. I think they're a real fun item to get and a real fun gift to give.
And for the price under $30, you can't beat that. You could have one of every color.
Well, exactly. My colors are royal blue for one horse and orange for the other, so I intend to get the orange ones and the blue ones.
There you go. Well, you can find them at equestriancollections.com. Just search for colored stirrups, and they'll come up. Well, that was our friend Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek. Here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen is the producer today. This show is brought to you by Back on Track Products. You can find all of their terrific products at backontrackproducts.com. And we need some help because Jennifer said we're a little light on really bad ads right now. So get your really bad ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Help us out here. Take 5 minutes. Go to Craigslist. Look around for some really crappy ads in the farm section. It's not too hard to do. You'll find them very quickly. We have two prizes this week, everybody. We have Uncle Jimmy's gift pack full of Uncle Jimmy's products, his squeezy buns, his hanging balls, you know, whatever he decides to throw in there for you. We absolutely love Uncle Jimmy's products.
It just sounds dirty when you list his products in a row. So dirty.
Well, you know what? If you're lucky, he'll send you a pecker wrecker, too, you know, if you're lucky.
Yeah, boy. Because
you really need pecker wreckers because you got chickens.
I know. I know, and they loved it, and they didn't even wreck it. They just ate it.
And by the way, the pecker wrecker is for chickens. It is for chickens. Best logo in the world is the pecker wrecker logo. But, yeah, Uncle Jimmy's gift pack worth almost $50 will be coming out to the winner here on Friday at uncle-jimmy's.com. And also, we have a book. We have two prizes this week. We have a book that probably Jamie is going to want to win called Sport Horse Confirmation, Evaluating Athletic Potential in Dressage, Jumping, and Event Prospects, written by Christian Schlott. So
I don't need that because I know everything about that.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I forgot. Sorry, didn't mean to insult you. But for those of you that don't know everything about sport horse confirmation, this book has a ton of pictures and goes through all different disciplines. There's even driving in here, and it really does have pictures, diagrams. It shows you what the horse is supposed to look like and which, you know, where the shoulders are supposed to be and how long the neck is. But it has all of that in here, and we're going to give that book out to another winner on Friday for Really Bad Ads as well. So get your entry.
If you want to see how poorly conformed your horse is, go ahead and send in a really bad ad and get that book.
That's correct, because I really haven't seen I don't think I've ever had a horse that was really correct, you know, all the little angles.
Yeah,
everything's
yeah.
correct. But anyway, it's a good book. Jennifer enjoyed it, and if you're a horse geek like Jennifer, you'll enjoy it as well.
Perfect. Well I was gonna say, I think you have another rescue story for us, don't you?
Oh, yeah, this was something, too. You know, we've had only a couple of these in the time we've been doing this show, and it's everybody's nightmare. You're hauling your horse. Oh, don't you think about this? Isn't this something that is a nightmare?
I am always stressed out when I'm shipping horses, and stories like this make me realize why the trailer cam is such a valuable piece of equipment.
Well, apparently what was happening was this is Brunswick, Maine. The rescue personnel were called to the side of the road for a horse that had fallen and become stuck inside his moving trailer. Well, we've had horses that have fallen too, okay? But what happened here is this. This horse apparently fell, and as the owner of the horse tried to assist the horse got spooked and attempted to exit the trailer from the small side door and became stuck. So I don't know exactly what kind of trailer this was, but he got stuck on, like, the chest bar and the door. And we have seen pictures of horses hanging out the side of the trailer before. That's apparently the situation here, is this horse got really stuck. So they got there and apparently tranquilized the horse to calm him down, and then it took they were going to use ropes and pulleys to try and get the horse out of the trailer because this horse was really stuck. But they ended up using brute force and manpower. A bunch of burly firemen helped get this horse out of there, and they all apparently waited around until the horse started to come to from the drugs, and the horse was fine, had some scrapes, and probably will not get in the trailer anytime soon. Not that I really want to do that again.
No, it's probably done. I'm not getting back in there. I don't know how, like you said, I've said this a million times, I don't know how horses even get in the trailer in the first place. And then to get in it twice. Like, maybe you can trick them into it once, But then when they get in there a second time and they're like, oh, I mean, I'm in the bright sunshine and you want me to step into this little box that rattles and moves around. And when I get off the trailer, usually I have to work really, really hard and then get back on and go back home. No, thanks. I don't know how they do it, but whatever. At least somebody does.
I know. I don't know how they do it either.
They're
well,
so forgiving.
Let's do our next segment. If I can find it. There.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
That's right. It's that time of the week when we have Michelle Anderson on from thehorse.com with our weekly horse health segment. Good morning, Michelle.
Hey, good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie.
Morning.
I got to tell you, Michelle, I was so excited when I got your email about what the topic was because it wasn't gory gross and it was kind of a manly topic this week.
Oh, well, this week we're going to be talking about stallion fertility. So last week we talked about the mare end of this process and the things that can go wrong. So now we're going to be talking about the stallion part of this process and what can go wrong there as well.
What could possibly go wrong? There's not going to be any blood or anything like that in this one, is there? Because I don't know if I can handle that.
I don't know. Let's see what Dr. Jones has to say.
Good morning, Dr. Jones, Florida Equine.
Good morning. I'm glad to be on here and glad to make your day, Glenn, but I'm not sure if you're going to be so excited about what we have to say.
Okay.
Oh, so I'm going to start out with the first question here, and that is, what are the reasons that a stallion wouldn't be able to get a mare pregnant?
They're infertile. How's that? Just because they have testicles doesn't mean that they know what they're doing with them. There's a lot of lack of knowledge about...
Wait a minute. That is all men right there. Just because they have them doesn't...
Wait a minute. That's different than being infertile. Two different subjects there, Dr. Jones.
Well, you know what? There's there's a lot of reasons that they may not be getting the mares pregnant. Of course, we always look at the mare first. I mean, she's always the culprit, according to any stallion owner, but they tend to have... unfortunately, sometimes more problems than the stallions do. But the big thing you have to consider is that...
Say that, Jamie.
You have to see, has a stallion produced any babies? And usually there's not a lot of people out there advocating their stallion until they have one or two babies on the ground because they don't want to be eating crow, you know, and say, yeah, he's going to produce babies. And next thing you know, they got a stallion problem and they never actually really checked them out.
Yeah, and they don't want to have to return those breeding fees either.
Right, because those breeding fees are kind of costly. You'll hear about somebody saying, oh, there's a brand new stallion out. They got a really low breeding fee, and, you know, they want to go ahead and jump on it because they think this might be the up-and-coming next show horse or whatever it is, racehorse or whatever. But they realize the reason the breeding fee is low is because they haven't proven themselves as a fertile stallion.
So how do they go about proving themselves?
Well, the thing, if I was a mare owner,
that he's fertile.
If I was a mare owner and I'm looking at a stallion, I'd want to make sure, A, the simplest thing is that they've got babies on the ground. So they can show you pictures, they can show you show records of babies that have been showing, you know, of this stallion. Most of the time, most people that are really into this well, they know the babies that are out there showing from such and such a stallion. So that's pretty easy for them to do. If they're new, I'd probably say, did you do a breeding stallion exam? And what it is that you have to collect the semen from the stallion, whether it's live cover or it's artificial, it's still good to do. And you evaluate the semen to make sure that there's enough movers, because a lot of them can just ejaculate a lot of sperm, but they're all dead. The other thing is they can ejaculate a low count of sperm. So there's not even enough in there that will get the mare pregnant. And then some ejaculate just fluid. So they don't get the job done at all. So doing a breeding soundness exam would be the first thing I'd like to ask a stallion owner, have you done a breeding soundness exam this year? Because they should be done every year. The other thing would be is, what's his booking size? If he is overbooked, his semen quality is going to drop. And that's another reason they don't get mares pregnant, if somebody gets a little too greedy, which can happen. I mean, we all need to make a buck, but they might be putting too many mares on the stallion, and thus they're not getting their high numbers that they were getting when they had less mares going to the stallion. So they can only produce so much semen a day, and that's, you know, called for, per se. And then the other thing would be is, if you're doing live cover, is are they ejaculating completely, getting the job done, that kind of thing. So there have been some messed up stallions because they put them on the show circuit. The trainers have told them to not drop while they're standing there waiting to go in the show ring. And they'll beat them, they'll kick them, they'll get after them to pull their penis up. And some of those horses don't know what to do when they go in the breeding shed. And they may not actually ejaculate when they jump on the dummy or onto the mare, because they've been trained not to let that thing drop and do what it's supposed
death.
To do. Yep. I know this all sounds crazy, but it happens. It happens.
I don't blame them. No.
I wouldn't either.
So if you've been trying to breed your mare to a certain stallion and she hasn't been getting pregnant, like you said, a lot of times the blame goes on to the mare, but how do you know that it's the mare or the stallion's fault? Like, how do you find out if it's a stallion issue rather than your broodmare's issue?
Usually you look at their bookings, and if they haven't gotten anything else pregnant, that's an easy way to do it. That's quick and easy. A lot of times a stallion owner may not be upfront about this. The other thing would be is if you've checked your mare top to bottom, that means a uterine biopsy, culture, cytology, maybe even a videoscope of her uterus, and she comes up clean completely on all of those factors, you may start looking at the stallion. So you switch stallions, and then you get her pregnant. That's kind of huge.
So you've mentioned live cover and AI. Can you explain to us a little bit about the differences between having a mare live covered using cooled semen or frozen semen that's artificially inseminated?
And this is another reason why sometimes mares don't get pregnant.
Yeah.
is the conception rates drop with each one of these different types of reproductive means. So I try to educate my clients and tell them that when you get a breeding contract for a stallion, look it over thoroughly and understand it. So is it a live cover? Is it a collect fresh semen and put it right into the mare? Or is it collect semen and ship it cooled, or is it frozen only because they're showing and all they have is straws and they don't want to stop a show season to collect them? Frozen straws have a lower percentage of conception rate. So you want this big, beautiful stallion. He's here locally in the United States, and you said, okay, well, sure, I'll do the frozen, but your mare's not getting pregnant. She may have a problem with the frozen semen. There might be other mares that get pregnant on the frozen semen, but she might have a problem. Or that stallion has not been proven on a frozen semen straw, meaning they've bred 3 maiden mares and each one has gotten pregnant, or they've bred proven mares and have babies by their side with the frozen semen and they've gotten pregnant. That's considered a proven frozen semen stallion, not the fact that you thaw the straw and look at it and it has wigglers or, you know, movement. That's not proven, because every stallion will have some movement in this frozen straw. They actually have to do the job and get it done. That's what they do in Europe. So when they sell straws out of Europe, they're usually proven, meaning that they can produce babies with that frozen semen. Here in the United States, we don't have those rules and those regulations, so anybody can freeze semen, whether it was good or bad semen, and then sell it. The other one, the cooled semen, that's the most commonly used, and that one has a higher percentage than frozen of getting the mares pregnant. But, of course, it's never as good as the live cover, and the only problem with the live cover is you have risks of getting hurt, mare or stallion.
So looking at conception rates, just to recap, so live cover is your best choice for conception rates, followed by cooled on-site, and then cooled shipped, and then frozen straws.
Yes, and you don't even have cooled on-site. You can actually just pull the raw semen out and put it right into a mare if you're worried about live cover and somebody getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so because this is, you know, breeding horses used to be pretty simple. You'd take the mare, you'd hobble the mare would get mounted and bred. But now we've intervened and we have a lot of humans involved in this process. How can you know as a mare owner that your stallion team knows what they're doing and that they're giving you the product that is a high quality product from the stallion.
You'd really only know if your veterinarian's involved, I would say, and that would be a veterinarian that's knowledgeable and effective. End of things. There are plenty of barn stallion and, as we call them, stallion station owners that are not veterinarians. They own these big barns that have only stallions in it, or mostly stallions in it, and they take in people's stallions, collect them, and ship for them. So they're, as they call it, stallion station. These people should be properly trained, and you can ask them for their credentials. You can ask them for references and that kind of thing. The credentials, I would say, is have they gone to a breeding class before? And I'm not trying to advocate one class over the other, but Colorado State has been doing it for many, many years, and they have a class that they teach on how to collect a stallion, how to determine the calculations, and it truly is a calculation to figure out the cooled shipment amount and a calculation to freeze the semen amount. And it's all based off of motility, morphology, and concentration. Those are three things that you're going to be looking at, as well as a few other factors. But those are the three main things.
Hold on. Is that what the interns are for? They have to sit at a microscope and count?
No, they actually have sperm counters. They go very quickly. I've got one I use in the field, and there's some nicer ones in labs. And some of the stallion stations have very, very nice ones. There's the universities have ones that do very objective reading, and they do all of that for you with one slide of semen.
I feel better for the interns now.
It depends on their equipment. You know, you can visit the stallion place. You can maybe look online. They might have pictures of their reproductive labs and things like that. Veterinarians will spend an extra 2 to 3 years at a university getting what we call a theriogenology specialty, and that's just a reproduction specialty. It's ACT behind their name, American College of Theriogenology, and those should be experts, specialists in equine reproduction. So if you're looking for a veterinarian that would help you out, especially if you have a problem mare or a problem stallion or one where you want to collect, you might want to look for a veterinarian that has DVM or VMD plus an ACT behind their name.
Okay. And so if you're taking your mare and breeding her to a stallion who is located close to you or regionally, do you, as a vet, recommend that the mare go to the stallion station to be bred, even if it's with our AI, or can you do that at home? And are there any differences in conception rates between being on site at the stallion station and having your mare bred in the field at home?
I think it depends on the stallion and that answer, because some stallions will do better. I actually had one personally in my past that would do much better with taking his fresh semen and putting it right into a mare, the whole amount, because he had terrible motility, rather than shipping it to them. And we could spin it and make it down into a pellet and then pull off the viable or the good semen, send it, but it wasn't always a good possibility that you'd get mares pregnant with that. But the other thing, too, is you got to take the mare in consideration. If she's at home, a lot of times she's more comfortable. So she's not releasing a bunch of stress hormones that would possibly keep her from getting pregnant. So doing it at home is always nice, but sometimes convenience is better taking her to a facility to get it done, because you don't have to meet that veterinarian every day or every 6 hours if it's frozen semen at your own property. They're doing it on their own time in the middle of the night, whatever is necessary to get the job done.
Okay. So a kind of an easy process, but actually kind of complicated.
It's supposed to be easy, as Glenn has pointed out. It's supposed to be a very easy process, but we have complicated it because we want that stallion that's in Europe, because he shows so well in Europe, and we have our nice warm blood mare here. Or we complicated it because we wanted to breed to the show horse, quarter horse show horse, that's on the show circuit right now, but he's not available to go get collected because he loses his mind when he gets collected, so they keep him on the show circuit, and you got to use his straws. There's so many factors. I want to breed to the one that's up in Seattle, Washington, and I'm here in Florida. Well, I'm not going to ship my mare there, so I'm going to have to do shipping.
Mm-hmm. So more options, but more thought put into the process now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It all boils down to one thing: ruining the fun of the men. That's all what it boils down to.
There's a great video that I'm going to put on my Facebook page that the horse has, and it goes through just five factors of the stallion itself. And, you know, I'm talking about stallion mayor, you know, getting together and making sure your stallion contract is legit. One thing I do run into a lot with my clients is they don't understand straw size and how many straws it takes to get a normal amount of semen into a mare. So these people that are importing straws from Europe or having straws of their own stallions that might have already passed away, so they've limited straws left, don't want to give those straws up very easily. So they're going to charge high dollar per straw, and the client's like, well, I can get one straw for whatever money. They don't realize it takes more than one straw, and they really need to look at that stallion contract, and they're going to have to buy more straws in order to get the job done the first time. So you have to think about, you know, the mare side of a stallion, because the contract is very involved, and you really should ask your veterinarian or somebody who does it often, like a reproduction specialist, about your stallion contract, looking it over. But the video goes through what the stallion goes through, and this is one thing I try to tell my clients is naturally the mares are coming into heat in April and May because that's the way they had their survival of the fittest. They would be foaling out when it's coming into spring season so the babies wouldn't freeze to death and die, but it's not so hot in the summer that the mares are having a hard time. So the spring season has an increase in light hours that tells the mare it's time to start cycling, but it also tells the stallion to start producing more semen. And the more he does ejaculate and cover mares or get bred, the better his semen quality will get as long as he's not overdone. And then, of course, his age is going to have an influence. You love this old show horse. He's been fantastic. You've gotten a couple great babies off of him, but his semen quality may be going down each year. Their price may go up because they're going to breed less mares if they're very good stallion managers. So, you think about all that. And then, again, we talked about the poor show horse who's been beaten and told not to drop their penis while they're out there on the show circuit, and those tend to have a very hard time their first or second year into the breeding shed. So if you're getting a new one at a cheap price, you may be doing a couple breedings because the semen quality may be decreased.
Okay. Dr. Jones, I have a question. Is there anything you don't know?
Oh,
you
plenty.
Know everything. I mean, you guys, if I could have this woman come out to my house to look at my horses, I would do it. I mean, my gosh, you know, we've been with you for years now, and you have been the go-to expert on every topic, and I'm listening to you, I'm like, God, she's smart. So smart in every single one of them. But I know you share a special passion for breeding, and that's one of your favorite things. But it doesn't even matter if it's breeding or not. I mean, my gosh, I'm just so impressed. You just impress me every week. So just wanted to give you a little pat on the back there.
Thank you very much. I love what I do every day. And as my mentor said, I'm very blessed. I get to wake up and work on these beautiful animals every day of my life. And that's what keeps me going, and doing the best I can for them is what it's all about.
Yeah, and we horse owners are thankful for vets like you who are so dedicated to what you do and help us through because we need you.
There's plenty of us out there, that's for sure. We love what we do.
That video that you mentioned is Five Things You Need to Know About Stallion Fertility, and that was with Dr. Ed Squires at the Gluck Center. He's the go-to guy on fertility in horses. So if you're interested in more information, take a look at that. We also have the Mayor Fertility video that we mentioned last week. That's part of that series. And then we just posted also a newborn foal video, and that's with Dr.
Great.
Gary Magdesian from UC Davis, and he is a critical care specialist. He also really likes the baby horses and gave us some great information about five things you need to know to get those babies on the ground and healthy. So take a look at those if anyone's looking for information at thehorse.com.
Fantastic.
Very good. Well, thank you, guys. We appreciate you being on again today, and I ditto everything Jamie says. And I say the same thing about Michelle. Michelle, you work hard to put this segment together every week, and we appreciate you doing it because I know we pay you a lot to do this. So,
yeah, right. you get paid just about as much as I do. So
I was going to say, wait a minute, Michelle, you get paid? What's going on?
All right, we'll see you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Glenn. Bye, everyone.
Horse.com, FloridaEquine.com.
Take care.
You are right about Dr. Jones, though. She just, it doesn't matter the topic. She's so authoritative. Even if she's wrong, you want to believe her.
I don't think she's ever been wrong because I believe her no matter what. Like,
I know.
She's it's impressive. And, yeah, Michelle does do a lot of work putting it all together, and we do appreciate that. But, my gosh, Dr. Jones is like, it doesn't matter what Michelle throws at her. She just got it. She owns it.
The encyclopedia. That's what she is. Hey, before we wrap up today, because I have Live Oak to get to, I have to get out of here and have some fun. I wanted to mention that I got the new Facebook. Remember 2 weeks ago they announced there was going to be a new timeline for everybody? They're slowly rolling it out. I love it. You know how much we hated the last time?
Yeah.
I love this one that much. It makes it so much easier. There's little tabs up at the top, and you can pick which timeline you're viewing. So you can view just your friends. So you can see every post your friends posted in order without their calculations and without them deciding what you should see or not. They're in chronological order. You can pick the following tab, which is all of the brands you're following, like Horses in the Morning. And it'll list all of the brands that you're following in chronological order. You know, big, nice that they're not picking out. You can pick just photos, and it brings up all of your friends' photos. Not brands' photos, but your friends' photos, and only the posts that have photos in them. It is really cool. I'm really liking it, actually.
So how do you get it? Because I hate ours, so...
Okay, you have to sign up for it right now. They're rolling it out slowly, and I'm going to find you the link right now, so give me a second. It is facebook.com/about/newsfeed. Make sure that's the right one. Yep, that's the right one. And if you go to that, it'll say sign up or something at the very top there. It says try the new look. Click on that, and it'll put you in a queue, and then in a couple of days, you'll receive a notice at the top of your page that says you want to try the new look. So I love it. I think it's fantastic. I think it's going to solve a lot of the problems that we had. And also, the pictures are bigger, and the videos are bigger, too, in line there. So everything's a little bigger, too.
Like, well, cool. Good. I'm glad you had something positive to say.
I know, about Facebook. That's unusual. Well, that's it. We've got to go out to Live Oak and have some fun. So we'll be back here on Friday morning. Don't forget to get your ads in to Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com for really bad ads. Jamie, you take care of yourself and your baby. And if you want to hear all the past episodes on Horses in the Morning, you can go to HorsesInTheMorning.com. I did the first Tune Tuesday yesterday. So if you missed that, go over and just listen to some great music from yesterday from all of those equine artists that we follow here every day.
Yes, I would like to point out that I am going to spend a lot of money today because the vet is coming out, and it's vaccines and teeth floating day here at Flyover Farm. So,
oh, ching! Fun.
Oh, yeah. Cha-ching. All right, everybody, have a great day. Don't forget spay, neuter, and geld. And thanks for being a part of the show this morning, all of you. Talk to you again next Wednesday.
When your wife tells you that, every horse huntsman cringes when you hear the vet coming up. Doesn't matter what it's for, we cringe.
Chad's like, this is going to cost, isn't it? I'm like, yup.